WCR.
One in three think they won't be able to afford to retire at all, with 83% concerned the cost of living crisis will mean they'll have to work longer before retiring to make up the shortfall in savings. To tell us more, I'm joined now by Jonathan Watsley of Wealth at Work. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Now, when it comes to our savings and our pension pots, it is important to keep tracking where we are. I know that my main pension pot actually went down by about 2% last year due to the way in which it had bumped up during the coronavirus pandemic and then has fallen back with the value of stocks and shares. So there's a lot to think about when it comes to our pensions. Trying to put more in is one way around that, but we're all struggling a bit at the moment. But the most important thing is that we don't stop making those payments we already have earmarked.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And I think that's one of the issues, is that when people come under financial pressure, as they clearly are at the moment with the cost of living crisis, of course, interest rates are going up. So people are going to be making, or a lot of people are going to be making larger mortgage payments when their fixed rates come up to renewal. So that's going to put even more pressure on. So yeah, very easy for people to turn around and go, oh, what can I cut? And pension contributions, of course, could be one of those things. But people need to bear in mind that if they cut those pension contributions, then clearly that is not going to help towards their savings for retirement. So it's a decision that they shouldn't take lightly.
And how much would, at the moment, somebody who is about to retire need to get a good return? Are there set values for everybody, or is it really about the sort of life you're expecting to lead?
Yeah, I think that's the key thing, is that people need to think about what sort of retirement they want. Do they want a very basic retirement where they think their costs are going to be very, very low, or do they want a more extravagant retirement where they're thinking of going off traveling? So depending on what you're looking at, and of course also what age you want to retire at, how many years have you actually got to fund? So those are some key considerations. So people need to start looking at that quite early and thinking about, are they saving enough? So not only people that are just starting out in their working lives, but also people that are, say, middle-aged, thinking about, well, actually, how much have I built up in my pension? If I carry on at the current rate and I want to retire at, let's say, 65, what is that likely to give me? Is that going to give me enough? If it's not, then should I be contributing more? Of course, they have the state pension as well, so that shouldn't be underestimated. But of course, that state pension is only ever going to cover the very basics. So if you want more than that, clearly you have to save for it.
Yeah, and you have to hope that your mortgage is fully paid up well in advance of your pension starting to be something you're thinking about. And it'd be great if you can get your mortgage paid off, then you've got an advantage there, because maybe that cash can go into your pension pot, whether it be savings or directly into buying an annuity. Or you know, if you are renting, though, you're probably at less advantageous position.
Yeah, I think that's right. A lot of people will try and aim to have their mortgage paid off by the time they get to retirement. In fact, some people, if they haven't paid it off, will use the tax-free lump sum that they get as part of their pension to hopefully pay off that debt. And then they know the rest that's left can provide an income for them. But you're absolutely right. People that are in rental accommodation, it becomes harder, because of course that rental cost they're going to continue to have. In theory, for the rest of their lives, and rents will go up. So they need to allow for that as well. So yeah, it is a harder piece to work out if you're renting, because as opposed to paying off the mortgage and having no costs there, you're always trying to second guess what level of rent you may be paying as the years go by.
And who should we talk to about our pensions? Because it needs to be someone who's approved and understands the world of pensions these days.
Yeah, absolutely. So we're Wealth at Work. We work with a lot of employers. So it's always worth individuals talking to their employer to see if there's support within the workplace. A lot of organisations now run what are often called financial wellbeing strategies, which means they provide a lot of help to employees. So that could be guidance helplines, or providing information, or even running seminars in the workplace. So it's always worth having a chat to your employer first. But failing that, there are other places you can go. So you can go to the government website, which is moneyhelper.org.uk, and that has a whole wealth of information on there ranging from how to budget during the cost of living crisis through to more specialist support around pensions and decisions to be made at retirement.
And then, yeah, so you talk about that as essentially made at retirement. But obviously, from the age of 55, you can start looking at drawing down a pension. But you do have to remember, once you've bought an annuity, that is it, isn't it? You have that amount coming in. And if anything were to happen to you then, there's no longer a lump sum to be paid by the pension in most cases in the event of death.
Yeah, that's right. So effectively, what you're buying with an annuity is a guarantee. So you're guaranteeing that level of income for the rest of your life. And of course, some people like the fact that there is a guarantee. Whereas other people say, well, look, you know, I want to maintain control over my pension pot. And they kind of accept that the value of that pension pot may go up or down. And they need to manage it or get someone to manage it for them. But they like that flexibility. And of course, you know, when they die, then that pension pot that's left is effectively passed on to their next of kin. Whereas, of course, yeah, you're absolutely right. If they've got an annuity, unless you've got spousal benefits, then when you die, that effectively that income dies with you effectively.
And so pensions are something which many of us don't really understand, that we will either have had something we've paid into over the years through work. There's been all sorts of different plans, even in my lifetime. I mean, I remember opting out of SERPs as far as the state earning related pension scheme was, because that's what everyone did in 1993. But it is a confusing world to try and work your way through. So this is where we do need the help and guidance.
Yeah, no, I agree. I think when people are saving, and of course we have auto enrollment now, so people will be auto enrolled into their pension schemes where they work. So that's helping more people to save, albeit that they may not be saving the amount that they need to save. So that's quite a straightforward process because people are auto enrolled. I think when you get to near retirement, things become a bit more complex because people need to work out exactly what they want to do with their pension pots. And of course, a lot of people will have multiple pension pots. I think the average person at the moment has something like 11 jobs in their lifetime. So you know, you could have multiple pension pots of different types. So often kind of need help to work through all of that. Also other savings you might have, you know, you might have ISAs or other types of savings, which you want to take into consideration as a whole, so you can work out what sort of income you can generate as you go into retirement. So people often need help and advice at that point.
Yeah, and if you say you've got those potentially up to 11 pension pots, they could be working better for you, particularly as you head towards the end of your working career, if the cash was all moved into one place. But it isn't necessarily always right, and it isn't necessarily always possible.
No, that's right. So pension consolidation, as it's often referred to, is good in the sense that yeah, you could see everything in one place and it's with one company, so that makes it easier for the individual. But of course, you need to make sure that what you're transferring it into is the best thing, because you could be transferring, you know, one of those pensions that you're transferring could actually have lower costs at the moment, actually might be performing quite well, and then you transfer it into something that has higher costs and lower performance. So you do need to really look at it very, very closely to make sure that it's the right decision. Also, some of the very old type pensions, some of them had exit penalties, which meant you effectively pay a fee to transfer it. So in some cases, it may not be worth paying that fee to transfer it. So whilst consolidation into one pension in theory is a good thing, and for a lot of people it works really, really well, you do need to work through the detail of it.
So what sort of places can we go to advise? You've already mentioned there's some government to work online, but what can Wealth do to help us?
Yeah, so people should go to wealthatwork.co.uk, where we have a lot of information. In fact, we have the research on there as well, which people may find interesting. But there's lots of other videos and help that people can have a look at, which will hopefully give them some ideas of some of the things that they need to think about, and also, the more importantly, the next steps that they may need to take.
Yeah, but it is very important we do think about it, though, not bury our heads in the sand and hope for the best, because that isn't the best policy.
Yeah, no, exactly. And I think pensions are often deemed complex, which to a certain extent they are. And so people think, oh, I don't really understand this, so I'd rather ignore it. Whereas actually the best thing they can do is actually go and get some help.
get a handle on it, get some help, and get the best out of your retirement with whatever funds you have available, however it may work for you. Jonathan Wasley from Wealth at Work, thank you for joining us.
Great, thank you.
Cheers, that mate, thank you.
Yeah, cheers, Jason. Cheers, bye.
Bye now.